Next case is 97-871, Dayton Bar Association versus Theodore R. Shaman Jr. Mr. Shaman. Yes, you may. Dayton Bar Association has not filed a brief. They're not here, obviously. They wouldn't be able to argue if they were here, so you may proceed. I'm a little confused about the stipulation and the findings of fact that we have from the board and the panel. Yeah, there was a stipulation of facts which is attached, and you admitted to certain conduct. The board and the panel found that a violation of the section that says you shall not be dishonest, and they found that you apparently had advised clients that filings had been made when they hadn't, and so forth. I don't find that in the stipulations. Was there a hearing as well as stipulated evidence? Did you appear before the panel?
I appeared before the panel.
Okay.
That was after, obviously, after the stipulation.
Okay, so that evidence was produced at the panel hearing. We don't have the benefit of them here, unfortunately, so we're
advised the court at the beginning of the case back in 1995, it's saying was handled by the charter party here acting pro se. So I can attest to what before had nothing to do with the original answer. The case was assigned to hearing before the panel and was heard on April 26th, 1996. And of course, you note that the master commissioner called me when they were trying to set up this hearing before the panel. And in that call, he advised me that the hearing would not be evidentiary, but was only to elicit personal answers from the respondent with regard to background, education, and other subjective data, which assisted him in determining the efficacy of approving the situation. And it's on that basis that I attended that hearing. It's unfortunate that I'm finding fault for an arm of this court rather than just the relationship. The reason for that might be made.
Did you offer any mitigation at the hearing? Anything that would mitigate against a severe penalty? What did you do?
What we did, Your Honor, was my initial entry into this case was I think 1996, where I wrote a letter to the relator making certain proposals. In that letter, I made the allegation that the respondent had something, some impression, there was some cause
did you rely upon the stipulation between the parties and not offer as much evidence as you would have if there was no stipulation?
Well, and all I can say is that after I got into this thing, the stipulation was agreed to, and there was no exchange of any conversations about evidence.
Well, at the hearing, though, Justice Sweeney's trying to ask you, was there testimony, and it says there was testimony at the hearing about depression?
Yes.
Okay. So that was offered to the panel.
But we're talking about oral testimony.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to hard evidence. There was no piece of paper, there was no doctor, there was nothing. If we hadn't been asked for it, we had already made the stipulation. We didn't engage in any matters of evidence.
Well, the stipulation wasn't as to litigation.
No.
So what, I mean, isn't that, you were acting as counsel, would you have known that you needed to show litigation?
I certainly know the rules of evidence. I certainly know that this, the procedure that we've been through in this case, did not appear to the rules of evidence. The thing was handled in formal conversation. And so, as I was going to say in my list that I prepared here, once that stipulation was struck,
but we're addressing litigation, counsel, and litigation wasn't part of the stipulation, so you weren't denied any opportunity to bring anything into the panel hearing, were you?
No, was not denied.
You had opportunity to bring whatever you wished, doctors or reports or...
Yes.
Counsel, are you related at all to the...
Yes. I'm his uncle. As I pointed out in an earlier filing, I have no familial or social tie to it. But he is my brother's son. And as we've already said now, the actual evidentiary process and at least during the investigative period of grievance procedure, because there's no structured discovery and the like, kind of changed the rules here. And I do believe that, well, first of all, my letter, which was my first entry into this thing, did allege that there was some problem with depression. And it should have been carried forward, but at that stage of the proceeding, the relator said they were willing to enter into the stipulation, and everything was geared to the creation of the stipulation. The stipulation was, in effect, an instrument which was designed to put an end to the, sorry to say, prosecution, basically, except for the prosecution of this case. So nothing else needed to be done. Ignoring study recommendation of the relator in this proceeding.
We regularly have recommendations to council, but the panel doesn't, or the board doesn't, isn't required to agree with those recommendations nor is this court. But it's off, we can't permit stipulated penalties, can we?
Certainly, yes.
When we do, right.
That's all it's for.
Did you?
But I'm aware of 3D, so.
Pardon?
I said I'm aware of 3D, the rules, and I know what they don't have.
Did the respondent appear and testify?
And spoke to.
Spoke to the panel.
Even showed some contrition. There are lots of cases that this court must be aware of. I'll cite one because it's my interest. Lorraine County Bar Association versus Lodge, 66 Ohio State, 356. Respondent was charged with knowingly misrepresenting reports to respondents, as in the case before you today. And was given a 6-month suspension. Then the suspension was stayed in the light of the respondent's meritorious service for a public employer, together with a period of probation. So, this would illustrate that a district employer is resistant to the matter of the case, and the that's what I'm suggesting here. What bothers me about this whole process is that his agreement, the respondent's agreement to stipulate required that he withdraw his answer. Note the panel rejects the stipulation. We now have no answer on file, and therefore he's given up his right to proof of any of these. And in that stipulation, he had admitted to certain things which actually he denied occurred, and to this day come to court in a trial situation denying those certain things.
Well, the stipulation was signed by you and by the respondent, as well as relator, right? So I guess I didn't understand. Is there something wrong with the stipulation that you think that should have been included, or that you didn't agree with?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was guided that this is not a case that I handled each week. And I was pretty much guided by kind of the expertise of relator and the team. And I really fully expect the stipulation to be accepted. I have no reason to doubt. Concluding, I would just say to the court that the charges that all occurred in pretty much of a small period of time. He's been practicing law about 21 years, and all of the charges came up in a short span of 2 years, 1993. He is a very bright young man. He's, he has an extensive education. He's admitted to the bar in 3 states. He did outstanding service as an assistant prosecutor for 6 or 7 years. I hate to see that wasted. I'd like to see him punished for his indiscretions, but what I'm asking the court to do is give him a second chance by giving him an indefinite suspension, which will enable his rehabilitation. This court has a full scope of what happens in the future to rehabilitate himself, and his judge should be worthy of rehabilitation. If not, this court will survive.
Thank you, Mr. Shaman. The matter is submitted, and you'll be advised of our opinion. The marshal, please adjourn court.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session in all Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.